Beispieltest 2. Lecture. Listen to a lecture in a communication class.
So, toward the end of our last lesson, I mentioned that we would be looking at presentations and how important it is to prepare for a presentation if we don't want to make a fool of ourselves when we stand up there in front of a lot of people we don't know. Now, all these people, especially if it's an international congress, or perhaps if it's in a company, an international team, have different expectations. Some want straight facts, others want to be entertained with a few jokes and unusual visuals, and yet others are prepared to listen to a narrator who is trying to convince them of his or her arguments. We all believe that the way we present will be expected and accepted by our audience, but this is not necessarily so. Let's take a look at the length of the presentation. This is also culture-related. Although in Anglo-Saxon countries and some others, such as France, we believe that you can and should tell it all in 30 minutes, Scandinavians believe that their attention span is 45 minutes, and Germans and Japanese believe they can listen quite comfortably for up to an hour. On the other hand, the more feminine cultures or multi-actives, such as Latin Americans and Southern Europeans, we call them feminine because these cultures are better at multitasking and are not so time-oriented as the linear active, time-oriented Anglo-Saxons, can't listen for so long. Their minds start wandering off to other things they have to do. They prefer a shorter, eloquent, and lively talk. So how do we time our presentation for an international audience? You can see that even though we want to strive at making our presentation audience-oriented, this is the first dilemma we're confronted with when presenting to an international audience. Another problem we are going to face when preparing the presentation is how to begin. Anglo-Saxons believe that the best way to catch the audience's attention from the beginning is to use a hook, some kind of snappy joke, a rhetorical question, some interesting facts or startling statistics, or an anecdote. Of course, it should have a relation to your presentation, though. You don't want to be telling them about your last holiday if you're there to present the company's bad sales figures. On the other hand, this type of introduction might be strange to a Japanese, who expects a very reserved approach with an apologetic beginning to express humility and respect. A German would feel that the right way to begin a presentation is to give the audience some background information about him or herself, and if presenting on the company's behalf, also some information about the sound background of the company. Another dilemma. Let's look at a third problem. An Anglo-Saxon presentation is more audience-oriented, yet static, without the speaker really getting involved personally in what he or she is saying. All the speaker does is put across information stressing the structure and the facts. In a Latin presentation, the speaker is more involved and possibly even passionate about what he or she is saying. What I'm trying to say here is that the presentation is more indirect in this case, aiming at harmony and agreement from the audience, whereas the Anglo-Saxon mode of reasoning is more confrontational. As you can see, expectations are very different around the world, and we are sometimes awakened by a rude shock if we assume that our presentation style will be accepted readily. It reminds me of an American professor who was invited to address the faculty at a Swedish university. The professor structured his talk in the classic American style, even making some provocative statements as a foundation for lively audience involvement in a question and answer session at the end of his talk. The problem was, nobody asked a question. Although he tried different ways of encouraging questions, it just didn't work. So what went wrong? Quite simple. A Swedish audience feels that it's extremely rude to ask questions at the end of a presentation. It would show that the speaker wasn't clear in his or her presentation. What a Swedish presenter would do, and something that is very much appreciated by the audience, is to ask a well-crafted question at the end of a presentation, which leaves them something to think about. So, we want to give a good presentation to our international audience, But what do we do if we don't want to put our foot in it? We need to analyze the audience. If your audience is more predominantly one type, let's say Latin, Anglo-Saxon, Asian, try to adapt your presentation to their expectations. If the group is mixed, then try to integrate a bit of each style into the presentation. If you just stick to your style, thinking that this is the best and easier, you're not making the presentation audience-oriented, are you? What a North American may find to be a good presentation might be quite boring for a European, and vice versa.